The Word of Life was manifested. Series Preface. Before entering 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 2, the foundation should be clear. In the previous study, the Father has life in himself. John chapter 5 verse 26 established that the Father has life in himself and has granted the Son also to have life in himself. That life is not ordinary biological life, not generic existence, and not a detachable object God hands out. It is God's own divine life, rooted in God's own Spirit. The Son has this life in himself because the Father, by his Spirit, gives his own form as the spiritual element in Jesus' emergence. This means the life of God is truly present in Jesus from his beginning. 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 2 now carries that foundation forward. The question is no longer only how the Son has life in himself, but how that life was manifested, heard, seen, looked upon, and touched in Jesus Messiah. Readers unfamiliar with the foundation may first read, "The Father has life in himself," here, https://christrooted.org, "The Father has life in himself," introduction. John opens his first letter with language that is both simple and carefully layered. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 2. John is not merely saying that the apostles heard religious teaching, saw a remarkable man, and touched a historical figure. He is saying that they encountered the word of life, and that the life was manifested. The language is not casual. John moves from the word of life, to the life was manifested, to the eternal life which was with the Father. That movement must be followed carefully. The phrase word of life raises two questions at once. What does John mean by word? What does John mean by life? If word is reduced to a spoken message, the phrase becomes merely the message about life. If life is reduced to ordinary existence, the phrase becomes merely the word about being alive. But John's own wording will not allow either reduction. The life is not generic life. John immediately identifies it as the eternal life which was with the Father. And the word is not merely an audible expression floating away from God. In John's writings, word language belongs to God's own revelatory reality, the divine structure through which God speaks, reveals, and gives himself. The question, then, is whether the distinctions John gives will be allowed to stand. He does not simply say, "The word is the life," in a flat, collapsed way. He says the word of life. The preposition matters. The word belongs to life, bears life, reveals life, and manifests life. Yet word and life are not the same in differentiated term. The word points to God's form, in revelatory action. The life points to God's own Spirit, his inward divine life source. The manifestation happens in Jesus Messiah, the real human Son in whom the life of God became visible, audible, tangible, and active. Thesis. The word of life in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 does not refer merely to spoken words, an abstract message, or a detached verbal expression. It refers to God's own form, as the divine revelatory structure through which God speaks, reveals, and gives himself. The life does not refer to ordinary biological existence, but to the eternal divine life that belongs with the Father and is rooted in God's own Spirit. Therefore, the word of life means God's form bearing, belonging to, and revealing the life of God. This life was manifested in Jesus Messiah. The apostles heard, saw, looked upon, and touched the human Son in whom the word of life was truly manifested. They did not touch an abstract message, and they did not touch life as a concept. They encountered the man Jesus, in whom God's own life was present and overflowing through his words, his works, his touch, his obedience, his suffering, and his resurrection. Part 1. The life is not generic life. John begins by speaking of the word of life, but he does not leave the word life undefined. He immediately clarifies, "The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." 1 John chapter 1 verse 2. This means the life in 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 is not ordinary life in the broad sense of existence. John is not simply saying that life, as a general idea, appeared. Nor is he speaking merely of biological life, as though the apostles saw someone physically alive and concluded that ordinary life had become visible. John identifies this life as the eternal life which was with the Father. The movement is clear. Word of life, the life was manifested, the eternal life which was with the Father. Eternal life is not being imported into the passage from somewhere else. John himself makes that identification in the very next line. The life in view is the life that belongs with the Father. The life that is eternal, the life that is manifested and proclaimed. This fits the wider Johannine witness. Jesus says, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself." John chapter 5 verse 26. The Father's life is not an external object, a detachable power, or an item God distributes. The Father has life in himself. That life is inward to God and points to God's own Spirit, his divine life source. So when 1 John speaks of the life, the term is not generic. It points to the same divine reality, the life of God, eternal life. The life that belongs with the Father. This is not creaturely existence extended forever. It is the uncreated divine life of God himself, manifested in the Son. Part 2. The Word is not merely words. The second question concerns the Word. John says the Word of life, not merely words about life. A distinction must be made between words as spoken expressions and the Word as a revelatory designator. A spoken word is an expression. It proceeds from a speaker. It comes through breath, mouth, voice, and form. Scripture often speaks in precisely these terms. Psalm chapter 33 verse 6 says, "By the word of Yahweh the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host." Psalm chapter 33 verse 6. This verse gives more than a bare reference to divine speech. It speaks of the word of Yahweh, and the breath of his mouth. The word is not treated as a detached sound object floating away from God. It belongs to the living God who speaks. It proceeds through the revelatory structure Scripture calls his mouth. The mouth language is not crude literalism, as though God were reduced to creaturely flesh. But it is also not empty metaphor. It is a revelatory designator, language that points to a real divine reality without collapsing God into creaturely anatomy. This is where the wordplay matters. A word, as audible expression, proceeds from the deeper structure by which the speaker expresses. In human speech, words are not independent objects. They arise through the living structure of the person who speaks, through breath, mouth, voice, and bodily form. In divine revelation, Scripture speaks of God's word, God's mouth, God's breath, God's voice, and God's form. These terms are not interchangeable noise. They reveal a pattern. God's spoken word points beyond sound to the divine structure through which God speaks. That structure is identified in Scripture as God's form. God says of Moses, "With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of Yahweh." Numbers chapter 12 verse 8. Jesus says, "You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, and you do not have his word abiding in you." John chapter 5 verses 37 to 38. In that passage, voice, form, and word are brought into close relation. This is why John's word, language, cannot be reduced to a message. The word is not merely the audible expression that proceeds from God. The word is the revelatory designator that points to God's own form, the divine structure through which God speaks, reveals, appears, creates, and gives himself. God himself remains the acting subject. The word is not an independent agent beside him. The word names God's form in revelatory action. This does not mean word and form are flat interchangeable labels. Form identifies God's own eternal spiritual body, the real divine structure through which God reveals and gives himself. Word is the revelatory designator used when that form is foregrounded in God's speaking, revealing, creating, and manifesting action. The word does not replace the form, and the form does not become an independent speaker. God himself remains the acting subject. Part 3. The Word of Life. John does not say simply the Word is life. He says the Word of Life. The preposition matters because it preserves relation without collapse. The Word and the life belong together, but they are not flattened into one indifferentiated label. The Word is of life, because God's form bears, belongs to, reveals, and manifests the life of God. The life itself points to God's own spirit, his inward divine life source, while the word points to God's form, the structure through which that life is revealed. This distinction is necessary. If the word and the life are collapsed, then God's form and God's spirit are blurred into one indistinct concept. If the word and the life are separated, then the word becomes an empty structure or detached expression. John's phrase avoids both errors. The word is of life. The word belongs to the life and reveals the life, while remaining distinguishable from the life. This is not philosophical jargon imposed on John. It follows the movement of the passage and the wider scriptural pattern. John says word of life. He then identifies the life as the eternal life which was with the Father. He elsewhere links God's voice, God's form, and God's word abiding, John chapter 5 verses 37 to 38. The conclusion is not that 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 uses the phrase God's form directly. It does not. The conclusion is that John's word language must be understood inside John's own revelatory framework. This is the distinction aspect of all monotheism preserves. The word foregrounds God's form. The life foregrounds God's own spirit, and the one acting subject remains God himself. The word and the life are not separate divine persons, competing agents, or detachable components. They are distinct, simultaneous, inseparable realities of the one God, revealed through John's own language. The word of life, then, is God's form bearing and revealing God's own eternal life. The life belongs with the Father. The life points to God's own spirit. The word belongs to that life because God's own spirit dwells in God's own form. Part 4. The life was manifested. John continues, "The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." 1 John chapter 1 verse 2. The word manifested must be handled carefully. Manifestation does not mean the apostles saw a glowing abstraction. It does not mean Jesus walked around with a visible symbol above his head labeled life. It means the life of God became visible, audible, tangible, and active in and through the real human life of Jesus Messiah. The previous question, from John chapter 5 verse 26, was how the Son has life in himself. The present question, in 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 2, is how that life became heard, seen, looked upon, touched, and proclaimed. John answers by grounding the manifestation in Jesus Messiah. The apostles encountered the life not as an invisible theory, but in the real human Son. John says the apostles heard, saw, looked upon, and touched. These are bodily, historical, sensory words. The life was not manifested as an idea. The apostles did not touch a doctrine. They did not touch an abstract message. They did not touch life as a concept. They touched the real human Son, Jesus Messiah, in whom the word of life was manifested. This manifestation was not containment in the shallow sense, as though Jesus were a religious container holding divine life somewhere inside him. Spiritual infrastructure does not mean a ghost-like substance trapped inside the body or a localized spiritual object hidden in one place within the human person. It names the unseen spiritual framework of a living soul being, the inward reality by which the person receives life, bears life, and expresses life through the whole person. In Jesus, that spiritual infrastructure is grounded in God's own form. Therefore, the life was not merely located inside Jesus as though his humanity were a container holding a divine object. Because his spiritual infrastructure was grounded in God's own form, the divine life permeated the whole functioning reality of his human existence. His words, works, touch, compassion, authority, obedience, suffering, and resurrection were the historical manifestation of the life that was with the Father and was made visible in the Son. This is why John's language is so concrete. He does not say merely, "We learned about life." He says, "We have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we looked upon, and have touched with our hands." 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. The eternal life with the Father was manifested in a real human being. The divine life was not reduced to flesh, and it was not detached from flesh. It was manifested in and through Jesus Messiah. Part 5. Jesus Messiah as the manifestation of life. Jesus is not merely a messenger who speaks about life. He is the Son who has life in himself. John's Gospel says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." John chapter 1 verse 4. Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." John chapter 10 verse 10. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." John chapter 11 verse 25. John's Gospel concludes its purpose by saying that through believing, people may have life in his name. "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John chapter 20 verse 31. This means the manifestation in 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 2 is not isolated from the rest of John's witness. The life that was with the Father was manifested in the Son because the Father granted the Son to have life in himself. John chapter 5 verse 26. The life was not merely spoken about by Jesus. It was present in him and overflowed through him. When Jesus touched the sick, life was manifested. When he spoke forgiveness, life was manifested. When he cast out demons, life confronted corruption and bondage. When he raised the dead, life broke into the realm of death. When he endured suffering without surrendering to sin, life was manifested through obedience. When he rose from the dead, the life that was in him was openly vindicated. This is why Jesus cannot be reduced to prophet, teacher, moral example, or authorized messenger. The apostles did not merely encounter someone who spoke words from God. They encountered the Son in whom the word of life was manifested. The man in whom God himself was present through his form and by his spirit. Part 6. What was proclaimed. John says, "We have seen it, and testified it and proclaimed to you the eternal life." 1 John chapter 1 verse 2. The apostolic proclamation is not merely a report about religious ideas. It is testimony to manifested life. John proclaims what was seen, heard, and touched because the eternal life with the Father became historically manifest in Jesus Messiah. This also explains why the proclamation creates fellowship. John continues, "That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Messiah." 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. Fellowship is not merely shared religious opinion. It is participation in the divine life manifested in the Son. The apostles proclaim the word of life because through the Son, the life that belongs with the Father is made known and shared. The proclamation does not point people to a detached message. It points them to the manifested Son in whom the life of God is present. This is why the phrase word of life matters so much. If the word is reduced to words, the proclamation becomes mainly information. If life is reduced to ordinary existence, salvation becomes merely improved living. But if the word points to God's form and the life points to God's own spirit, then the apostolic proclamation is far deeper. God's own eternal life has been manifested in Jesus Messiah, and through him, those who were dead are brought into life. Conclusion. 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 2 does not present a vague religious memory or a poetic statement about Jesus. It gives a precise witness to the word of life, and the life manifested. The life is not generic life. John identifies it as the eternal life which was with the Father. The word is not merely audible speech or a detached message. Within John's scriptural framework, the word points to God's own form in revelatory action, the divine structure through which God speaks, reveals, appears, creates, and gives himself. John chapter 5 verse 26 reveals the Son as the one granted to have life in himself. 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 2 reveals that same life as manifested, witnessed, and proclaimed as the word of life. The first passage establishes the inner reality of divine life in the Son. The second shows that this life was historically encountered in Jesus Messiah. The phrase word of life preserves distinction without separation. The word belongs to life, bears life, reveals life, and manifests life. The word points to God's form. The life points to God's own spirit. The Father is the personal divine source with whom this eternal life belongs. This life was manifested in Jesus Messiah. The apostles heard him, saw him, looked upon him, and touched him. They did not encounter an abstract message or an invisible concept. They encountered the real human Son in whom the life of God was truly present and visibly active. The word of life was manifested because God's own form bore and revealed God's own life in Jesus Messiah. And through that proclamation, those who hear and believe are brought into fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Messiah. Igor Pagoda, Christ-Rooted, Divine Identity Theology, DIT.